Well, if you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Do you know that Revelation is a very special book? Of all the books in the Bible, all 66 books in the Bible, Revelation is unique in this, that it comes with a promise if you read it. It's the only book in the Bible that comes with a promise if you read it. So, Revelation, you don't have to turn here now, but chapter 1, verse 3 says this: "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near." So that's pretty good. We should all have Revelation as part of our reading Bible plan, you know, once, twice, three times a year, you know, read through Revelation, and you will find out what that special blessing is that the Lord wants to give you for reading that book. So today I want to talk to you about the worthiness of God. The worthiness of God. And, you know, we all know that God is worthy. God is of surpassing worth. You know, his worth is of greater value than can ever be calculated. How do you calculate the worth of God? You can't. It's so immense, beyond immense. And God is worthy of all of me, and God is worthy of all of you. And I'm sure if I asked you, you could give me some of the reasons for why God is worthy. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some scriptures that tell us exactly why God is worthy, some of the reasons for why God is worthy. And I'd like to do this today because I want us each to come to a higher view of who God is, to raise our view a little bit more, a higher view of who God is. I was taken up with this actually a couple years ago, the worthiness of God, and it has made a great difference in my life and my walk with the Lord as I have come to understand more of just how worthy God is. So a higher view of God will affect your life in a very positive way. Having a higher view of God will bring you closer to him. So we'll be looking, as I say, at some reasons today as to why God is worthy. And I know that for some of you, the book of Revelation, you might not be too familiar with it. It can seem to be a very strange book. It's filled with strange creatures and strange beings and strange happenings. But Revelation is an extremely important book, especially in the day we live in today. You know, it is the last book of the Bible, and it tells us the end of the story. It tells us where everything is headed. The return of Jesus Christ, the taking away of the church to be with him, the setting up of the eternal kingdom where we will live with Christ forever and rule and reign with him. So very, very important book. The book of Revelation was given to the Apostle John as a prophecy, as a vision, right? Was a miraculous spiritual occurrence that God, you know, delivered Revelation to John, telling him about things that I think are some of the things you read in Revelation, they're going on right now. And it's also about things that will happen in the near future, I believe. Okay. So before we begin, we're going to start actually with Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. But I want to set a little background here for you so you understand what's going on. John sees a door, and the door opens into the throne room of God. And John walks through the door, and he walks into the very throne room of God. And there he sees the Lord sitting on his throne, this glorious throne. And around the Lord's throne, there are 24 other thrones. And on those thrones sit 24 elders. And John sees flashes of lightning coming from the Lord's throne. And he hears peals of thunder. You can imagine why people say that if you ever saw the Lord, you would pass out. Well, you would, okay? It's like, be careful when you say, "Lord, I just want to see you." You wouldn't want to, okay? They would have to pick you up with a shovel, okay? So, but John was, as I say, was given this vision. And two things to note here, that this is a real scene. It's not imaginary. John's not having some kind of dream. This is reality. This is what goes on in heaven. It's our picture into heaven. And secondly, as I go on today, we're going to hear three songs of praise. Three songs of praise that are offered up to the Lord, and they give us some of the reasons for God's worthiness. Okay? And that's what we'll be looking at. So let's begin in Revelation 4, verse 6. And this is what John saw. He says, "Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.'" Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. These four creatures, some debate about who they are. Most likely they are angels of the highest order, very, very high angels. And they never stop praising God. And they are praising God for his worthiness, his worthiness. God is holy like no other. God is mighty like no other. You know, he is eternal like no other. God is being worshiped here just for who he is. Irregardless of anything he ever did or any people he ever saved, he is being worshiped just for who he is. His character is that incredible. You know, God is so magnificent in his character, so above everything else, that these creatures give him continual praise. There's never a moment when God isn't praised. Okay? Day and night, they never stop praising him. And that should make us think a little bit about our own habits of praise. All right, we don't have to wait to Sunday morning to praise God. All right, we don't have to. You know, during the week, you can just lift up your voice. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And it's a blessed thing to do, and it's a good thing to do to work praise into your life. God loves our praise, and he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise because he is perfect in his holiness, absolutely perfect in his holiness. The scriptures say that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, right? He is eternally without sin. God does not have to work at being holy. You and I have to work at being holy. Okay? But God does not, you know, perfectly without sin. He is worthy for his holiness. He is mighty. He is almighty. There is no limit to his power, to his strength. And for that, he is worthy. And he is eternal. There was never a time when God wasn't, and there will never be a time when he won't be. He is eternal. We used to sing a song, not that long ago, we used to sing, "We are a moment, you are forever. Lord of the ages, reigning on high." God is the self-existent one. You know, he doesn't need anything to keep him alive. You know, you and I, we're people on life support, okay? If he didn't think about us for a second, we'd be gone. Every time I think of that, it reminds me many, many years ago when I was involved in scuba diving. I used to go down the ocean and crawl around there on the bottom. And the only thing that kept me alive was that air tank and that mouthpiece going in my mouth. And if I didn't have that, I would have been gone in a minute. So we're on life support, but not God. He is eternally existent, eternally existent. And for that, he is worthy. You know, how worthy is the Lord for his holiness, for his might, for his eternal existence. If we think on these truths, if we meditate on these truths, you know, just go, when you lay down in bed to sleep, think about the holiness of God. Marvel at his might. It will give you that higher view of God. It will take you to that higher place. You know, I'm glad for the age we live in, where people have such familiarity with God. And that's a good thing. There's a good side to that. That's a one, you know, God wants intimacy. He wants closeness. You know, God's my friend. Jesus, man, he's my bestie, you know. He's the best. But let's not forget who he is. He is the holy, eternal God who is so far above us and beyond us in his character, the King of all kings, right? So far. And I think when we see that distance, when we recognize that distance between us, it helps us appreciate much more what he has done for us, you know, what he has done for us. His worthiness. So why is God worthy? What have we learned so far? We've learned that he's worthy because he is holy, he is mighty, and he is eternal. Okay? That's what the beings in heaven tell us. Okay, let's look at the second reason, a different set of verses for God's holiness. This is pick up in verse 9 to verse 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." God is worthy because he created everything. He is worthy because he is the creator of all things, right? It doesn't matter whether it's a rock or a moon or a sun or a star or clouds or rain or elephants or ants or seashells or sharks or whatever, you or me, God is worthy because he is the maker, the creator of everything. Right? Everything exists because of him, because he created it. And that's why the elders fall down and cast their crowns before him as the magnificent creator of all things. Okay? We should see God as worthy because he is the sole creator of all things. I'm going to run a little video for you now, and this I just want to take a couple minutes to look at this. It's magnificent. Okay? It's just going to set you in the frame of mind of the worthiness of God's creation. So if we can play that for a couple minutes, we'll just enjoy these scenes of God, the maker of all things. Maybe we can. Yeah, glorious. Yeah, brings wonder and tears to my eye. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. How worthy is the maker of heaven and earth, all right? And we need to not get obtuse about nature around us. When we drive around and just see the leaves change or whatever, it's God's handiwork. It's God's handiwork. The more we see these truths, they will just elevate our view of God higher and higher. Okay, let's look at our third song. And this may be the best song of all, you know. And a little background here. John, and we're going to jump over to chapter 5. And John sees in the throne room of heaven, he sees the Lord seated upon the throne. And there seems to be a disturbance because the Lord's holding a scroll. And the scroll, as you may know, represents the end time judgments. It's the judgments that are going to be released on the world in the end times. And the problem is there's nobody in heaven who's worthy to open the scroll. And the scroll has to be opened because that's what brings the Lord's righteous judgment on sin in the world and enables us to come back and be with him forever. So these judgments are important. And John begins to weep because nobody can be found to open the scroll. So we'll pick up in verse 4 of chapter 5. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. So who was the only one able to open the scroll? Jesus. That's right, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Jesus has the ability to open the scroll. And, you know, why is he worthy to open the scroll? Well, we're going to find out about the reason for that. Verses 9, starting in Revelation verse 9 to 14, it says, "And they, the elders, sang a new song. You are worthy, Jesus, to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations." So Jesus is worthy to open the scroll because he is the Savior of the world. He has saved men by his blood, right? And you are one of the ones he has saved, if you know him. And I am one of the ones he has saved, okay? Which is an incredible reason for why, you know, God should be praised. We're not going to read through all the other verses here, but what you hear is the angels begin to worship, and all creation, thousands upon thousands, 10,000 upon 10,000 voices lift up the Lord in praise for his worthiness. So the question at this point, you know, really becomes, if God is so worthy, then how worthy is God to you? How worthy is God to me? In view of his worthiness, you know, am I living a life that reflects the worthiness of God? And how do we live a life that reflects the worthiness of God? It was a very good answer to show us how to do that. It's in Colossians 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, verse 10. Here's the answer to the problem. The scriptures tell us, live a life worthy of God and please him in every way. We are to live a life worthy of God and please him in every way. You know, he is worthy of us living for his worthiness. You know, we are to live lives that honor the worthiness of God. You know, lives that are set on pleasing him in every way. So how do you do that? Well, I think it's one way the Bible talks about a surrendered life. I think it has a lot to do with leading a surrendered life, where we just surrender our life to the Lord. I like to think of it as giving God a blank check. You know, just taking a check and saying, here you are, Lord, your name's there, and I'll sign my name, and it's blank. You fill in anything you want, Lord, because you are worthy of all of me. You are worthy of all of me. Right? What I want to do is just mention three things today that I think say a lot about how worthy our lives are before the Lord. I just want to talk about worship, prayer, and giving to God. Worship, prayer, and giving. I'll say a little bit about each of those as reflections of our worthiness, or not our worthiness, but reflections of how worthy we see God. So we'll hit on these points, and then we'll wrap up. So first of all, worship. Our worship, our praise, the raising of our voices to God in praise is an expression of how worthy God is to us. Okay? You know, how we worship is a measure of how worthy God is to us. When we worship, we take our focus off ourselves, and we put our focus on God where it belongs. And, you know, when we realize the holiness of God, and we, you know, understand the wickedness of our own sins. Even though we're saved, we still mess up at times, right? I do, okay? But when we realize the difference between his holiness and our sinfulness, when we understand the suffering that Christ went through on the cross, what he endured to set us free, you know, that should just make praise spring from our lips. Praise should just spring from our lips when we think of that. You know, how lost we were and how great is the love of God nailed to the cross. How worthy is he of our praise. And God is still looking today. He's still searching today for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, in the scriptures we read today, it's interesting. You think about the scriptures we read today. The main event in heaven is worship. That's what everyone was doing. They are worshiping the Lord. So shouldn't the main event in our life be worship? Be, you know, praising of the Lord, praising of the Lord. And nowhere does the Bible say that you're only allowed to worship God on Sunday morning. I used to feel bad about that. I thought I would come to church for years and just sing songs on Sunday morning and enjoy the worship. And I would say to myself, what am I doing the rest of the week? You know, I would always feel kind of hypocritical that I would come in and praise God on Sunday when I haven't praised Him during the week. So I started praising Him during the week. I started, you know, making a little list of songs and worshiping Him during the week. You might remember Pastor Ryan 2 weeks ago, he talked about how he would just be at home and just start singing to the Lord. And last week, Brother Anthony was talking, and he said how he would just be driving in his car with his kids and start singing hymns to the Lord. So consider that. It can be a real breakthrough in a person's life to start praising God, to start singing to Him, worshiping Him in everyday life. In everyday life. You know, He is worthy. He is worthy of your praise. And secondly, prayer. Your prayer life is a measure of how worthy God is to you. Your prayer life measures that, you know. And I really should throw in Bible reading here too, Bible study too, because that's extremely important. You know, our prayer life and the time we spend reading God's word is a strong indication of how worthy God is to us. You know, we put our time into what we value. We put our time into what we value. If we value God, if we consider Him worthy, we will spend time with Him, alone with Him. You know, everybody needs a place where they can get away and pray. And I believe everybody needs a time when they can go to pray. Because if you don't have it set up, if you haven't planned for it, generally it does not happen. It doesn't happen. You know, seek Him by giving Him your time, and you will never, ever be disappointed. In this increasingly wicked world that we live in, we need to be alone with God, talking to Him. It's what sustains us from temptation. It's what strengthens us, you know, being alone with Him. You know, prayer is where we find our strength to live in this world. So do you consider God worthy? Then you will find time to pray. You know, instead of plopping down in front of the TV and watching old reruns, find the time to pray. I like some old reruns now and then, but I don't let it keep me from my prayer time. I really like the Daniel model of prayer. The Daniel model. You know what the Daniel model of prayer is? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night. Even when the king came out with that edict, and the king said, anybody that prays to anybody else besides me in the next month, I'm going to throw them in the lion's den. King got kind of tricked into that. And you know what Daniel did when he heard that edict? He went home and he prayed. Didn't change his mind one bit. He went home and just continued to do what he always did. He went home and he prayed. And then when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, the lions couldn't open their mouths because he was prayed up. He was prayed up. So, the power of God was on him. Prayer is powerful. So you can follow that example. You can follow that example of Daniel. You can pray 3 times a day, right? You say, well, how can I do that? I'm at work at lunchtime or whatever. Okay, here's a very simple prayer you can pray 3 times a day. Pray that verse that we looked at. Just pray this. Lord, help me to live a life worthy of You and please You in every way, right? You pray that 3 times a day from your heart, and you will notice a real difference in your life over a few weeks. Lord, just help me move on my heart to live a life worthy of You and please You in every way. That's a good starting place for prayer. And lastly, I'll talk about giving. Giving money, dollars to the church, to God's work, right? Talk about giving, right? Giving money to God's work. It's very important. God calls us to give to the work of His kingdom. He calls us to give to it. It's an expression of how worthy God is to us. Okay? It really is. You know, our giving is one part, but a very important part of our testimony and of our faith. You know, I heard some statistics a week or so ago on the radio. It shocked me. It said that the average Christian gives between 1 and 2% of their income to the Lord's work. I say, you got to be kidding. That's a penny on a dollar. Okay, I'm sorry, you're not going to convince me that that person thinks God is worthy. Right? No, no. Right? People only put their money where their heart is. You know, so I challenge us in that today. Where is our heart? Where is your heart? Does my giving reflect God's worthiness? Right? Some people don't give because they don't trust God to keep his promises. But we read today, we heard today that he's the mighty one. God's mighty. He can keep his promises. He doesn't have any trouble keeping his promises, right? God has promised to provide for the giver. Listen to this scripture from Proverbs. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your wealth. Honor him, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. It's in my experience that I cannot outgive God. My testimony is that many, many, many years ago, I became a Christian 40, 45 years ago. Am I really getting that old? Yeah, I am. My wife and I, we were brand new Christians, and she came to me and she read in the Bible about tithing. Tithing is giving 10% to God. And she said, this is what we're supposed to do. And I said, oh, how are we going to do that? I said, halfway through my paycheck, you don't have money to go to the store to buy food. She said, well, the Bible says we should do it. And I said, okay, if the Bible says we should do it, we'll do it. And we started giving 10% to the Lord. Now, that's a starting point. Okay, I don't want to get legalistic about this, all right? Some people say tithes, Old Testament, whatever. All I know is it works. My wife and I, our family, we have never lacked for money. Never, okay? And the other neat thing about it, too, is when you start to give God on a regular basis, like the tithe, at the same time, I gave him my worries. I gave him my concerns about money, about running out of money or not having money. And after that day, anytime some concern came, some bill came in or whatever, I said, not my problem, Lord. I'm obeying you and what you told me to do. I'm not going to worry about it. And I have never worried about money or been short of money for many, many, many years. So consider your giving, where your giving is today. God is worthy. He's worthy of our giving, our prayer time, our praise time. Amen? Yeah. Let's close with a prayer. Yeah. Lord, help us today to grow in an understanding of how worthy you are. Help us to see more clearly who you are, your holiness and your power, your creative ability. Lord, just rain your creative ability into us so that we might be creative in the work that we do. Father, help us to understand your great sacrifice of love. Take us to that higher level, Lord God, that higher view of who you are. Lord, we can never repay you for what you've done for us, but we can regard you as worthy of all of us. Move upon us, Lord, today by your Holy Spirit. Lord God, move upon our hearts to live lives that are worthy of you and please you in every way. Lord, just fill us with your grace, Lord, this day to be all that we can be and to have that high view of you, that high exalted view of who you are. Amen. 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 Amen.